We've been looking at designer gifts. These are the gifts that God the Father provides for His children. And Romans chapter 12 is where I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. Romans 12 is the place where we find about these gifts. It's one of the three places in the Scriptures that list out the gifts that God provides for His people. These are the gifts the Father gives in Ephesians, that the Son gives in 1 Corinthians, is the gift that the Spirit of God manifests. And here in Romans chapter 12, God lets us understand about these individual giftings that He gives us. He lists seven different giftings, and today we're going to be looking at prophecy, and this is going to be the second time we've looked at this. But the seven giftings that He gives, the Father gives, are prophesying, helping, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And you see these parts of people's lives, and as they're energized, as a person comes to Jesus Christ, and they're energized by the power of the Spirit of God, He can use people to minister strongly in the lives of others. And it's my understanding that we as people have all of these activities we're to be involved in. I mean, I can find verses that everybody's supposed to give. Don't you know that in the Scriptures? Not the people that have the gift. Everybody's to help, not just the people that have the gift of helps. Everybody's to lead. Hey, you know, you're going to lead in some area. Not everybody's to be necessarily in church leadership, but in life you lead. I want our children to be the leaders in everything that they do. That doesn't mean that they have to be the president of a class or something. Because quite frankly, it's many times the informal leaders who carry a whole lot more weight than do elected or positioned leaders. Have you ever noticed that? It's the people who have influence. And I want our young people, in fact, I want our entire congregation to be leaders. They stand as leaders there. Not the boss necessarily, but leaders who show the way to people. And there are Scriptures that tell us that. We're all to be involved in exhorting, all to show mercy. But God gifts certain people with a special empowerment in these different areas, and they become real good. Now, to operate this way, you have to be a person who submits yourself to God, giving God yourself as a living sacrifice. If you don't, listen to this, if you don't, you will begin to operate in your fleshly desires out of your own mind, and you will cause trouble in the body of Christ. How can you say that? History. You just look at the history of the wreckage that's happened as people have operated away from the Spirit of God, operated in their own way. So the first thing you need to know before you can operate in these giftings is you need to be a living sacrifice. The second is this, that your gifting is not going to be what somebody else's gifting is. We're like a body, and as the body has all parts, so everybody within this body has all parts. And we're to operate understanding that. Not everybody's going to be a foot. But are feet important? If you want to get somewhere properly, feet are very important. Not everybody's going to be a big toe, but a big toe is important. You know what they used to do in the Old Testament days? When they would take a warrior, if they wanted to disable a warrior, they'd cut off his thumbs and cut off his toes, his big toes. I know it sounds kind of gruesome, but they would do that surgery, and you know, probably wasn't quite surgery, but anyway, they'd take care of it. And once they did that, they disabled the warrior. You know why? He could no longer, without his thumb, he could no longer hold a sword or a dagger strongly. He could be knocked out. Without big toes, today we have shoes that can make up for that. But in their day, they didn't have the kinds of shoes we do, and you couldn't run. You could walk, but you couldn't run. So you're disabled. Those are important body parts. We have so many important ones that are so necessary. And you got to understand, just because you're not something doesn't mean that you're not important. And lastly, the third thing, from verse 10 to verse 21, Paul talks about how we're to operate in brotherly love to one another. Sometimes that means we have to put up with one another. You who have had brothers and sisters in your life, have you ever had to put up with somebody? I'm the only person that had to deal with that. Melanie had to put up with me, and I had to put up with her. And nobody else, Melanie, in our whole place. And do that. We all have to operate that way in brotherly love. And that's where we prefer others instead of ourselves. Now, let's talk about this thing, prophecy. We mentioned about last week that it's according to the portion of our faith, or the faith, that we everything we do needs to be in accordance with the Scriptures when we're involved in hearing from God and speaking. Prophecy is speaking with people in the now about matters in their life with the Lord. And God speaks to all of His children. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He does this all the time. But some people are especially gifted in that. And they become the people that can give that we wouldn't be able to get otherwise. They're people who get these this information, and they can pray about it or they can share it. But it's part of our life, should be part of everybody's life, but these people have it special. Now, I love the story Al told me in cell group one night, where when he gets up, I don't know if you're still doing this, but when he would go to work, he'd get up and he'd ask the Lord before he'd drive out of the house which way to go, because there were several ways he could go to work. And by doing that, he regularly missed traffic jams. Regularly missed things. Other people would come in real late and he wouldn't be late because he took another route. How did he know to do that? Well, he simply asked the Lord, and the Lord communicated that with him. So we need this intel. We're in a war, after all. Do you understand that? Shake your head like this. We have an enemy whose name is Satan. He's very strong and powerful, and he has his legions that work against us to keep us from fulfilling what God wants us to do. And so when a person prophesies, they speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to people, or, as I like to say, they build them up, they stir them up, and they cheer them up. Those are the big things that the prophetic gifting is supposed to do according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. These people tend to spend a lot of time with the Lord, listening to Him, reading His Word, because whatever they say has to agree with the Word of God. And they desire to see people really trust God. So therefore they come and they encourage people with what God's saying to help people grow in their trust of God. And they spend a lot of time in prayer. Now, we talked about that last week, so let me just ask you this, or answer this question this week. The question is this: how does God communicate? Let me give you several ways that He does. Okay? The first way is with a still, small voice. Go with me over to this passage in 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings 19, there is this prophet whose name is Elijah. And Elijah had just had a marvelous victory at Mount Carmel, where God showed His power in a strong way to the people of Israel who had stopped walking with Him and had started following false gods. And the god's name was Baal, following after the god Baal. And on Mount Carmel, there was this contest between the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and Elijah, one man standing for God. And the test was, they set up altars, put animals on the altars, and they said, "The God that answers with fire, let Him be." That's a pretty good test, right? So those guys from Baal's prophet, their guys, prophets, danced around and shouted, did all kinds of stuff. They're cutting himself. He's eating his sandwich for lunch, and they're still going all over this stuff. And he actually mocks him a little bit. He says, "Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's in the bathroom." I mean, actually, you know, he's just really making fun of them. Those are actually words he says to them. And then when it comes, they've worn themselves out. He comes and he says, "Let's make it a little bit better. Let's douse this with water." Now, there'd been a drought, but Mount Carmel's right near the ocean, and seawater is really, it's bad to drink, but it's really good for dousing fires and getting them wet. So they poured barrels of water on this area so that the trench around it filled up with water. And rather than dancing around and singing and chanting and doing all kinds of stuff, Elijah simply says, "Lord, would You show Your power?" And all of a sudden, and the altar, the sacrifice, the rocks, just obliterated. And everybody falls down to the ground and says, "The Lord, He is God." Wouldn't you? "The Lord, He is God." And marvelous victory. And they actually go and kill the priest of Baal. The reason is because they had been taking their babies a long, long time, their firstborn children, and killing them as a sacrifice, so that they'd have good crops to Baal. And so they executed the prophets of Baal. Elijah's fleeing. He runs away because Jezebel, who's the queen, says that, "May God do the same to me. May the gods do the same to me if by tomorrow you're not like these prophets dead." And so he runs away, and he's filled with self-pity. and he comes and he stands in a cave, at the door of a cave, and verse 9 of chapter 19 says this. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in the place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." He's sort of doing what we all do sometimes. He's having a good pity party. And he's listing all... Don't you rehearse the things that you're having the pity party for? And he's rehearsing all those things that he's having the pity party for. And then the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. That's a pretty strong wind, right? I mean, when rocks are busting forth. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. That's a pretty strong thing too, right? I've never been in anything but a very minor one, but I've seen devastation that takes place from them. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in fire. Let me ask you, has God ever manifested Himself in wind before? When they crossed the Red Sea, you know what happened? The wind blew all night and divided part of the waters. He had manifested Himself in fire before. Well, there's a Shekinah glory cloud of God. You remember that? Came between the Egyptians and the Hebrews. And in an earthquake, has God ever manifested Himself in that? You remember there was a rebellion that went against Aaron and Moses? You remember what happened? Korah and a group, yeah, and they said, if you're for them, get on this side. If you're for the Lord and us, get on this side. And God opened the ground up, and they went down alive into the ground, and it closed back up in an earthquake. Yeah, God sometimes manifests Himself in those ways, but that wasn't how God was going to speak to the prophet. You know how God spoke to him? Look at what it says. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, in a still, small voice. You know how God speaks? He speaks quietly. That's why we have to ask stuff that we're involved in, get cut off the television, get away from the computer, move away from your phone, wipe out the music, and just sit before Him. People don't do that today. But He's not going to yell at you. He usually speaks very quietly. Is that how He spoke to you, Al? Al, is that how He spoke to you when He spoke? It was with a quiet, just a quiet speaking to you about which way to go to work? Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything big. It wasn't a trumpet sound. It wasn't anything. Just a quiet... It's just a thought that He brings in very quietly. And that was one way that God speaks. Another way that God speaks is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is dealing with this one. Isaiah chapter 21. Turn there with me. In Isaiah 21, Isaiah is prophesying about a nation. And actually, in this particular prophecy, God's giving him, he's supposed to speak about a national situation. And it's a pretty rough situation about judgment that's going to come because of sinful practices. And in chapter 21 of the book of Isaiah, starting in verse 2, Isaiah talks, and this is what he says, that he had a distressing vision is declared to me. A treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the plunder plunders. Go up, O Edom, besiege, O Media. All its citing I have made to case. Therefore, listen how he's going to experience these things. Therefore, my loins were filled with pain. Pains have taken hold of me like pains of a woman in labor. Is he hearing anything right now? Is he seeing anything right now? What's happening? He's feeling something, right? all of a sudden like he's feeling like what women feel like when they have labor. I was distressed when I heard it. I was dismayed when I saw it. What other two things do we have there? Hearing and seeing. My heart wavered. Fearfulness frightened me. What's that? That's emotional feeling. So he had physical feeling. He saw some things. And he heard some things. And he had an emotional feeling. Guess how God can... Let me ask you something. How do you experience the world around you? Through your senses. Your senses are seeing, hearing, touching, smell, taste. And that's how we experience the world around us. Without those, you would just not know anything. Would you agree with that? You'd just be there, but you wouldn't have, you just wouldn't have any, if no senses, it'd be terrible. Well, God sometimes uses those counter things spiritually to have us understand things. Sometimes He has us feel things. Kemp, I need this microphone. Denise, come over here. You experience God sometime ministering to you with one of these, right?
Yeah.
Which one?
The feeling really just spoke to me. That's pretty much what has happened to me through things at work.
Okay, don't mention anybody's name, but give us an example.
One of the girls, a couple of girls I work with, it's happened. Somebody walks past me, and I can feel what... What's going on with them. Another girl, she had something happen to her husband, and she didn't share it with anybody, but God revealed it to me. And I didn't know how to respond, because this is kind of all new to me. So I knew something was going on, but I didn't communicate that with her. I just kind of asked the Lord to continue to reveal to me what was going
sure.
on.
Sure. And remember, one of the big things that in prophecy is that they pray. That's the first thing they did. So it alerts you, now you can pray
right.
for those people, right?
Yeah.
And that's good. All right, so that's how God sometimes does it. All right? So He uses sometimes our feelings to do that. Why would He do that? Because He's a God who is extremely creative, and He's made you different. Each of you have a different fingerprint. You're going to be different. And some of you have a strong gifting in this area. Others give strong giftings in others. But everybody can do this. And so that's why it's good to know how God communicates. There's another way that He communicates. Sometimes it's with a mental image. In the book of John, in John chapter 1, Jesus is introduced by the apostle John. And in John chapter 1, down in verse 48, Jesus is speaking to a guy who was there. And it says in John 1:48, Nathanael said to him, Nathanael's coming, he's been told about Jesus, and he comes and he says, Nathanael said to him, let me start up earlier. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile, no deceit about him." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." I had a professor one time who said he didn't believe the scriptures, and he just said. And so all he did was Jesus just saw him. He happened to be walking by and saw him under the tree, and that's what he's saying to him. My thought is, that's an amazing way to convince somebody to follow you that you're the Messiah. You just happened to see him? But I think better what happened was this. Jesus saw him. I don't know what was going on in his mind. I don't know what was dealing with. But all of a sudden, when he speaks to him and says these words, "You're an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." And when he says, "I saw you under the tree," good possibility that Nathanael was talking to God about that. And God spoke to him through Jesus. Because he drops everything and becomes a follower of Jesus at that moment. He saw something. He had this mental image. Because he wasn't there, but he had this mental image. Elaine, come up here. I'm picking on these people because they've told me stories. That's why I pick on them. And you've had some mental images before. Would you share one of the situations that took place with you?
Well, I had one this morning. Can I share that one?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard this one.
Well, I saw something when Jay and Katie's little boy said, "Mommy has a baby in her tummy." And I wanted to share it then, but I felt like I was supposed to wait, and now I know why. Anyway, what I saw was I saw wombs opening up. It was like a door that was closed and locked, and I saw it open up. And God said, "I'm opening up more wombs. I'm opening up wombs, and more babies are coming. More babies are coming." And I also saw spiritual babies coming in too. But then when you were speaking and you were sharing about Abraham and Sarah, that was like confirmation to me that that was from the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he opened up her womb. It was closed, and he opened up her womb. And he can do it today. And the verses you were reading in Isaiah, if you kept reading, verse 6 said, this, he saw something and he was to declare it, what he saw. And so I've declared what I saw, and I am declaring now in the name of Jesus that wombs open. Wombs open. Hallelujah. Now, whoever wants a baby that hasn't had a baby, start. You know, take that. It's yours. It's yours. God's given it to you today. And claim it. Start speaking it. And don't speak anything contrary to that.
Okay, good. All right, now that's good on today. Give us another one that you've seen, that you've had. That's an image. Give us another image that you saw.
Well, I have lots of dreams.
Okay, we're not on dreams. Okay. This is image. You were in your office one day and you saw a sign. Yeah, you don't remember that one. Isn't it Michelle? That's all right. Yeah, she's had so many of them, it's hard to remember them all. I understand that. Yeah, but I've had friends who have seen signs. There's just a sign, it's got a word on it. And all of a sudden, there's just a word that's there. And they're not seeing, it's not there, but it's like all of a sudden, they had this just come up, you know, and they just see it. Carrie, you've had that kind of thing? Come up here.
I've got one that I saw. You just reminded me. When I went to CI years ago, Christian International Church in Florida, they have a big prophetic training thing. And we were in training all week, and I was sitting there, and the speaker said, I'm going to tell you a few words, and you ask God to show you what I'm talking about. And he just gave a few vague words. And immediately I saw a picture, and it was the word in all capital letters written, it looked like the word was written in blood, and it was murder. And right below it, in small letters, the word was written in blood, murder, but it was a lot smaller than the big one. And so I raised my hand and I told him, and he was just amazed. He said, What he was getting to was the husband that murdered his wife who was pregnant years ago. Do you remember? I don't even remember the name now, but it was all over the news. She was carrying the child, and he murdered her, and the baby, of course, died as well. And that's who he was talking about, but nobody knew. But that's what the Lord gave me, that picture. Now, isn't that something? Because And really and truly, I knew before he even said it what he was talking about. But I saw that picture, and so I was telling him what I saw. So God just revealed it to me.
Sure, sure. And one of the problems is knowing how to interpret these things. I was with some people, and they were sharing with somebody that they were going to have a baby, and the folk were in their 70s, and to hear that they were going to have a baby was a little shocking to them. In our society today. And so one of the instructors came and said, what did you actually see? And they said, well, we saw that they were going to be giving birth, and we just assumed it'd be a baby. And you can give birth to other things, right? You can give birth to businesses. You can give birth to... And in fact, this couple was planning on starting a new business. And so that was a great confirmation for him. So you just got to be careful in how you necessarily interpret it. Sometimes it's good just to tell people what you saw, if that's the case. You've seen something.
Sometimes I see words over people's heads. Sometimes I see words over a doorway, like in the old Canada Dry
building.
Canada, whatever. Okay. But anyway, in that building where we had the where we met sometimes, I saw the word delivery room over that. And I've been at a friend's house and walked out in the back of their yard, and I just saw the word protected, you know, over the back of, just right across it.
Sure.
And sometimes I share it, and sometimes I don't. That time I did, and it encouraged
pray.
Them.
Right? You can always pray.
Yes.
And that's the thing you
yes.
need to be always doing. Good. Thank you. All right. Watch your step. All right. So sometimes they're mental images. Sometimes they're open visions. Isaiah had a vision. He says in chapter 6 of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So he's seeing the Lord. He's actually in the temple, but he's seeing the Lord in that setting. So he's having an open vision. Stephen in Acts chapter 7 is being stoned. And as they're hurling the stones at him, and he's beginning to suffer the consequences of multiple brutal and the hits that are taking place from stoning, because they're going to kill him. All of a sudden, he sees Jesus, and he says, I see Jesus standing at the throne of God. And so he saw the Lord Jesus in that vision. Peter in Acts chapter 10 is in Joppa, the seacoast city, is on a rooftop setting, a porch that's up there, and all of a sudden he sees this cloth coming down. It opens up, and there are all these animals in it. And the Lord says, take and eat. You remember that? And he said, no, I hadn't eaten anything, any of these animals. I've been clean all my life. I hadn't eaten these things. And it happened the second time. And the Lord said, take and eat. And he said, no, I don't do that, you know. And the third time, sometimes we're kind of slow at getting stuff. And the third time, and finally he understood, and right after that, he went to Cornelius' house, and the Christianity opened up for more than just Jews. It opened up for the world, for all Gentiles. That's how God brought that about. Sometimes they're dreams. Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20, he wasn't a believer. He had a dream. I think after that he became a believer. We don't have any history, but Abraham prayed for him, and all of a sudden the situation that was caused was delivered. And in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, Solomon has a dream. Not many people had dreams in the Old Testament, but Solomon has a dream. Remember the dream he had? He had just been anointed king. He goes down to Gibeah to where the parts of the tabernacle are, outside of the Ark of the Covenant that's up in Jerusalem. And he goes down to where the tent and the burnt offering is made. And he goes down to this, and as he's there, he offers burnt offering to the Lord. And as he's there, he sleeps, and God visits him in a dream. And you know what God said to him in the dream? What do you want? I'll give you anything you want. Remember that? And the Solomon said, I feel like a child. I want wisdom to know how to rule over this people. And God said, for wisdom and not the death of your enemies, wealth, not the, I'm going to give you all those plus give you wisdom. And so he had this great, great, great vision, which allows you to understand, even with wisdom, you can still walk away from God. Just because you know the stuff doesn't mean you do the stuff. Because he messed up a lot. So those are ways that God can communicate. Sometimes with dreams, how do you know if it's a dream or just the pizza that you had? Well, I find for me at least, it's when I remember it. And if I can keep on remembering it days after, it's a little different. Because a lot of my dreams, they're gone. Haven't you? Are your dreams that way? You don't remember them. Now, if you can remember it, if it stands out strong, then that's one thing. If it has just a significant, strong significance to you, that's another one. One day we were at home, and this was when we were in Danville. And we're trying to figure out something, and we go to bed that night. And Cindy wakes up the next morning, and God in her dream had given her the understanding of how to do something. And boom, it was just right there. And so she remembered it, and she did it, and it worked. And so God many times does those kinds of things. What's the content of what He shares with us? Let me just share with you two things that are the content. First thing is this. God's not a gossip. See, He's not going to go around gossiping about people. In the book of Proverbs, there are two passages. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." God won't go around talking to other people about you. He's not a gossip. He also says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips," who just goes this way. So God's not going to be that way. If He tells us not to do it, He's not going to do that. But what He is going to do is He's going to inform us about matters over which we have responsibility. Your own life. You know you're responsible for you? Shake your head like this. That means yes. God's going to be holding you responsible for you. So you're always responsible for what you do. And so God's going to speak to you about your life. If ever anybody says anything, gives a word to you, you need to go and check it out with the Lord. You always check those things out because you're always responsible. You can't get up one day and say, "Well, so-and-so told me I was supposed to go do this." You need to ask the Lord what you do. And if somebody comes up and says, "The Lord just really impressed me about this for you," then that's great. You need to ask the Lord about it. A lot of people come up and say things to me and they're just off the wall. It's okay. They're off the wall. I just pray about it. Yeah, I'll move on. Sometimes they've been really sharp, and God does that. Because you got to judge it. Next week we talk about how to judge these matters. Parents, God will speak to you a lot about your children. If you'll just simply go to Him, He'll share with you. And I really think that's necessary. I think people have lost that ability and the idea to go. I think we're to give our children direction, and one of the ways we do that is we pray and we ask God. You ought to be able to tell your children a lot about them so they don't just enter the world like everybody else does in the world, not knowing what's going on. And so one of the ways we can help them is by praying and asking the Lord and seeking things for them. And in ministry settings that He puts you in, He'll bring things to you. And I don't have the feeling stuff, and I don't usually have the seeing stuff. I don't know that I've seen anything along those lines like Carrie and Elaine have. But many times God just drops words in my head that I'm not thinking. And those words have been, over the years, so accurate in dealing with situations that I'm dealing with. Many times I have no idea what they mean. They're words like airplane and words like purple and words like fishbowl. I mean, they're just common stuff, and yet those have been the keys to dealing with issues that have been in the life of the individual. And once I've just shared that, said, "I don't know why, but God seems to be giving me this concept." It's been the thing that many times when we reach impasses, breaks the stuff open. And I know that God does that. God's just providing that in that setting. So, we've got 6 minutes. So I would like for some people that can do prophetic ministry and have done it in the past to come and do that right now for someone. Okay? So, Elaine, you've done that in the past. Carrie, you've done that. Brad, you've done that. All right. We don't want to get too many because you get too many up here and we'll be here longer than I want to be here. All right? So, come on up on the platform. Come on. They didn't know they were going to do this. But, you know, that's part of the danger you have in coming to our congregation, right? But also know, I'm never going to call anybody to do anything that I don't think they can do. You understand that? I always call people only to do things that I know that they can accomplish. All right, so who would like to have some ministry in their life today? Tanya's going to be brave. Here comes the brave gal. All right. Good. Come on. All right. I'm going to pray for them, and then they're going to minister to you, okay? All right, good. Now, Lord, I thank you that you have gifted these folks with this gifting to be able to share from your heart for other people. So right now, as they focus their hearts and their minds on you, would you speak to them in your special way so that they can accomplish this task? As they think on you and your goodness, would you bring to them thoughts or feelings or words or pictures so that they can minister to Tanya? Thank you, Lord, for accomplishing that, that she might experience your blessing in her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brad finishes.
As soon as Daryl started praying, Tanya, I just saw a picture of, like a box of candy that you get for Valentine's Day. And the Lord just, the word that I see on it is that He wants you to be His Valentine. And that kind of candy that you see, you know, with all the names or the words on it, and He just, the word that I just keep seeing is, "Be mine. Be mine," says the Lord.
I see a wall that's around you, Tanya. And God says that He wants you to break through that wall. He wants that wall to come down. And He's going to show you how to do that. He's going to show you what the wall is and how to bring it down. You and He together are going to bring it down. So when He shows you, you go for it. You deal with it, bring it down, and you're going to walk in more freedom than you ever even thought that you could experience.
When Daryl first started praying, I thought I saw you talking to a young man who was receiving the things you were telling him. And both of you were smiling, and it was less of a teacher-student type of scenario where the person was receiving from you as equal, and that wasn't hard, finally, that you felt the most natural you've ever felt, that it wasn't an effort. It wasn't something you were having to drum up or pull on your natural tendency to be a teacher and to instruct or teach or help, but that it was more of an equal scenario. And finally, it just seemed like it was so natural and so easy, and it was the freedom in that was amazing. And something that the Lord is eager to provide for you, and that kind of relationship with somebody. And I just that was the first picture I saw, and I just again thought that it was just so natural and easy and light and not burdensome, but just very, very nice and good and comfortable and easy.
Okay, good. I don't know if any of those resonated with you, but just some nice things. And that's the way many times it is, just general stuff. But over the week, watch what happens. So remember the Valentine deal, the wall, and this person, this student. And so we'll just ask God to confirm those things. Lord, thank you for Tanya. Thank you for blessing her life as she walks before you. Thank you for giving her favor with people that she comes in contact with at the school, both students and administrators. Might the favor that you give her be so strong that many of the things that she has desired to see come about take place because and for the good of the students. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to her and through her as she's in that setting. And as she comes to hit a wall, Lord, would you remind her real fast that she can break through that, that you'll give her ways to do that? When she is thinking of you, Lord, would you envelop her heart stronger with you about the concept of you being her lover, the one who will provide for her? And Lord, when she meets up with the student, remind her again of this setting where she's able to minister. Thank you for blessing her as she walks with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. Now that's kind of fast, and the problem with that being that fast is these folks didn't have any time to prepare, didn't have any time to pray, they just had to get up and do it. And there are others out there I could have called to come up and you could have done it too. Does that mean everybody's supposed to do this? Let me ask you the question. Does that mean everybody's supposed to do this? Who is supposed to do it? People can, but who's supposed to do this kind of thing? People that are gifted in that. Right. Other people are gifted in other things. Do you understand that? And whatever our gifting is, are to be the things that we operate in. Okay? Can everybody do this? Can everybody do this kind of thing? Why? Because God says that He, through Paul, He wished that everybody would be able to prophesy. But God equips certain people to accomplish it strongly all the time. All right? So those people, there'll be others of you who you'll find out that you're doing that. Like Denise is finding out that she's, I mean, when you're just walking around, all of a sudden this stuff happens and you're not trying to make it happen. It's just taking place. That's a good indication of, oh, this is part of what God is. I didn't understand what it was for years. I just sit in frustration with a person who's crying their heart out because their life has fallen apart, and I did not know what to do, and I didn't know how to approach it. I just went, Lord, I need help. And He would throw these weird words. At least I thought they were weird because they had no meaning to me. And then I'd say the word to them, and that would be the beginning of us unraveling the situation and coming to a neat understanding and a solution for the problem. And I didn't understand what that was for years. I just thought it was God doing it until I read in the Scriptures and then began to understand, oh, this is God providing that for me. So we're going to talk next week about how you, if you receive this, how do you judge it? How do you tell whether it's right or wrong? Okay. David Horowitz, who was the son of Sam Killer, said that he heard God tell him to kill people. You need to be able to judge stuff that you hear. Because we have an enemy who uses the same channel. Right? Satan. And he can drop in thoughts too. So we need to make sure. And of course the Scriptures tell us, that give us the real reason why we're not supposed to do that. We follow what the Scripture says. Well, I hope that was helpful, giving you some information on that. Next week, again, we'll talk about how to judge it. And we'll drop this one and go to one of the other giftings. And we're going to go through all of them eventually and see what God has to say about them. Let me pray for you, may I, as you we finish up today. Thank you, Lord, for the extreme favor that rests upon the people within this congregation. For those who are students, would you give them favor as they're involved with their studies and their teachers? For those who are teachers, would you give them favor as they're involved with their students and bless them, Lord, as they begin this new venture, whether it's in home or in public setting? Bless, Lord, the folks that are involved in business. May your favor be so strong in them that the business that they do just continues to grow strong. And may they be seen as leaders within the community because of the favor you give them and the integrity that they have. We thank you, Lord, for blessing our folks as they walk with you. Would you show them your hand as you take care of their needs? Would you show them your power as you provide for them things they can't provide? And would, Lord, you direct them in all the steps that they take. that they might find that they have a God who's involved with them in life. Thank you for letting us have a relationship with you. And by your grace, Lord, would you use us to fulfill your purposes in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.